From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The White House is hailing the death of a prominent al-Qaeda figure today as a significant milestone in the international campaign against terrorism. Anwar al-Awlaki was killed in an airstrike in Yemen today. The U.S. says the same military counterterrorism unit that killed bin Laden, Pakistan, in May killed al-Awlaki in Yemen. Here's President Obama.
Al-Awlaki and his organization have been directly responsible for the deaths of many Yemeni citizens. His hateful ideology and targeting of innocent civilians has been rejected by the vast majority of Muslims and people of all faiths.
But as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty explains, while some Muslim Americans express grim relief that the American-born Muslim terrorist was dead, they had reservations as well about how al-Awlaki was killed.
News that al-Awlaki had been killed by a drone strike in Yemen brought a mixed reaction from groups such as the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The group said that it had always firmly repudiated the cleric's incitement to violence, but it added, quote, "While a voice of hate has been eliminated, we urge our nation's leaders to address the constitutional issues raised by the assassination of American citizens without due process of law." A spokesman for the Virginia mosque where al-Awlaki had once served as imam had no comment, but in the past, the spokesman has said the cleric never preached violence at the mosque and that he developed his radical ideas when he moved abroad. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Civil servants on strike continue to occupy the Greek Transport Ministry in Athens. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports that has forced international debt inspectors to reschedule talks on government reforms.
When the debt inspectors from the EU, IMF, and European Central Bank arrived at their appointment, they found the transport ministry occupied by angry civil servants. The words, "they shall not pass," were spray-painted on the metal shutters. The talks were postponed to evening. A similar meeting Thursday with Finance Minister Evangelos Venizelos also had to be moved to another venue due to the occupation of his ministry. Mired in recession and faced with mounting popular anger over the draconian austerity measures, the Greek government has failed to meet all the targets set down in a $150 billion bailout agreed to last year. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Athens.
The market's on track for its worst quarterly loss since the peak of the financial crisis. The three major U.S. indexes are down more than 10% since July 1st, a performance not seen since global credit markets froze. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 152 points, more than 1% at 11,002. NASDAQ Composite Index also down 1.7% at 2437. S&P 500 down, it's at 1142. This is NPR News. Canada's highest court has ruled that the only site in North America where it's legal to inject drugs can continue to operate. Dan Karpinchuk reports the government of Prime Minister Stephen Harper has wanted to close that site in Vancouver.
The Insight Clinic had an exemption from Canada's drug laws to operate, but the federal government wanted the legal option to deny that exemption and shut down the site, claiming the facility fosters addiction and goes against its tough-on-crime agenda. Insight is the only place in North America where addicts can legally inject drugs such as heroin or cocaine. Earlier, courts in British Columbia had ruled that it's a health issue, which means the province had jurisdiction, not the federal government. The nine judges on the Supreme Court were unanimous in their agreement against the federal government's efforts to close the site. The issue will now have much wider legal and political implications across Canada. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
An explosion from a car bomb during a funeral procession in Iraq today is responsible for at least 18 deaths. Dozens more people were wounded. The blast went off as mourners gathered for a Shiite funeral in the city of Hilla. Florida is going to hold its Republican presidential primary on January 31st, a decision that analysts say undermines efforts by both major political parties to delay nominating contests. Today, a special committee appointed by legislative leaders and Governor Rick Scott voted 7-2 on that decision. Supporters say they didn't want to jump ahead of the traditional early voting states, but wanted to make sure Florida was fifth in line after Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. And those states are now expected to move their voting dates from February to early January. You're listening to NPR News.